In the airport, he found a phone and placed a call.
Hello?
The groggy voice said. Hi, Sandy. It's John, he said with a smile.
John, where are you?
Hawaii.
You're okay?
Tired, but no holes, he reported with a smile.
John, there's a problem.
His smile vanished. It must be Doris, he said. Only you and the docs know about me, and...
It wasn't us, Sandy assured him.
Okay, please, call Doris and warn her off. Listen, I'll be back in 10 hours. Will you be at work?
I have the day off.
Okay, Sandy. See you soon. Bye.
John, I mean...
Kelly smiled again. We can talk about that when I get there, honey. He hung up. Maybe he wasn't just going home. Maybe he was going home to something. He made a quick inventory of everything he'd done. He'd left no evidence behind. The police might be interested in talking to him, fine. He did not have to talk to them. That was one of the nice things about the Constitution. Sandy awoke at 6:30, fixed breakfast, and watched the kitchen clock, wondering how early she might call Pittsburgh. At 10, she dialed Doris' number and listened to it ring 4, 6, 10 times without an answer. Damn. She tried again in an hour. She had to tell Doris not to talk, not to hurt the people who had helped her, to be very, very careful. Please. Reverend Meyer came late. As he parked in front of the Browns' house, he noticed a flower delivery truck heading up the hill. He was a little worried. He had to persuade Doris to speak with his son. He pushed the front doorbell. He saw the car, knew they were home. But no one came to the door. He waited another minute or so, frowning as he pushed the button again. Then he noticed the door was ajar. He pushed it open slowly and stuck his head inside.
Hello? Raymond? Doris? He called.
The TV was on, some mindless game show playing.
Hello?
This was odd. He stepped inside, somewhat embarrassed. He saw a box of flowers on the rug, roses, open. Meyer walked through the living room, listening, his heart racing. He found the kitchen empty, too, a pot of water coming to a boil. The basement door was open as well. He couldn't stop now. He was halfway down the steps when he saw their legs. Father and daughter were face down the bare concrete floor, and the blood from their head wounds had pooled together. The horror was immediate and overwhelming. They were holding hands, he saw, father and daughter. They died together, but the consolation that this tragically afflicted family was now united with their God could not stop a scream of fury at those who had been in this home only 10 minutes earlier. Meyer recovered, continued down the stairs, and knelt, reaching down to touch the intertwined hands and entreating God to have mercy on their souls. Of that, he had confidence. Perhaps she'd lost her life, but not her soul.
Hello?
Mr. Brown.
No, who's this?
This is Sandy. Is Mr. Brown there?
How do you know the Brown family?
Who is this? Sandy asked, alarmed now.
This is Sergeant Peter Meyer, Pittsburgh Police Department. Now, who are you?
I'm the one who drove Doris back. What's the matter?
Your name, please.
Are they okay?
They appear to have been murdered, Meyer replied. Now, I need to know your name, and...
Sandy hung up before she could hear more. Her eyes were wide.
Why? Why? She couldn't hurt anyone.
Yes, she could. But how did they find out? They have the police infiltrated, she remembered John saying. He was right, wasn't he?
Damn it! We saved her, Sandy shouted. Gone. A waste of her time.
No, not a waste of time. Stolen time. 2 stolen lives. She started crying and went into the bathroom to wipe her eyes. Then she looked in the mirror, seeing eyes that she'd never beheld before. And seeing that, she truly understood. John wasn't a bad man at all, just realistic. She fought her dragons, he fought his. It was the same fight.